Oh, hallelujah. Father, we bless your name this morning. Blessed be your mighty name, O King of glory. There is none but that name that is above all names. Let us, you know, by the Spirit, gather ourselves and be attentive to listening to the words of God in this hour. Let us, you know, leave aside the cares of this world, the problems that we have out there, because like we know, they will always be there. Jesus Christ says, in the world you have tribulation, but in me you have perfect peace, a peace that, you know, surpasses all understanding. And the main reason why we gather like this and, you know, refresh one another with the word of God is that we are gathered unto him. So we are gathered unto him upon the eternal peaks of Zion, where God has commanded the blessings forever. As people hear these messages, let them be healed, let, you know, yokes be broken, let there be deliverance, and let every man ascend into that realm of love. Blessed be your name, O God. Thank you, Father. Thank you, God. Hallelujah. In the book of Revelation, chapter 14, the Apostle John had a revelation of virgins. Virgins upon Mount Zion. It's a glorious vision of virgins upon Mount Zion. Let's just read it together, because I realize some of us here might are newcomers. We've not heard these messages before, so I don't want to assume that everybody knows these things. The book of Revelation, chapter 14, let's start from verse 1. And I looked, and lo, a lamp stood on Mount Zion, and with him 144,000, having his father's name written in their forehead. And I heard a voice from heaven as the voice of many waters, and as the voice of a great thunder. And I heard the voice of harpers happy with their harps, and they sing as it were a new song before the throne, and before the four beasts and the elders, and no man could learn that song but the 144,000 which are redeemed from the earth. These are they which have not defiled themselves with women, for they are what? They are virgins. And they follow the Lamb wherever he goeth. These were redeemed from among men, being first fruits unto God and to the Lamb. And in their mouth was found no guile, for they are without fault before the throne of God. Praise God. Hallelujah. Now John was seen here a snapshot. See it. A revelation of you and I, redeemed in God. John was among the 144,000. He was seeing himself, the end of the faith, himself among the 144,000. So you better open your eyes today and see yourself among the 144,000 upon Mount Zion. That is why the lamp was sent to the world. See, another chapter in Revelation says that the lamp had seven eyes on it. These are the seven spirits of God. The seven spirits of God is the Holy Ghost, is the Holy Spirit sent to the earth to redeem man from the earth. That is what the Holy Ghost is here for. To redeem man from the earth and gather men back to that place upon Mount Zion. Of course, we know Mount Zion is the dwelling place of God. Psalm chapter 24 say it is the place of the blessing. Of the blessing. It didn't say of blessings and of the blessings. It is the realm of God's unlimited blessings. You know that everything that is God, everything that is God, everything that is life that is in God, the power, the glory, and everything is freely available to every man who rediscovers himself. And when you rediscover yourself, you rediscover yourself upon Mount Zion. It is the peak of the spiritual realm. That is where God's world, God's kingdom is situated. See, the psalmist says that he has given the earth to the sons of men. You see, but the heavens belong to the Lord. Praise God. You better understand that the only thing that is desired, that is every man discovers himself upon Mount Zion. And that's how our prayer should be. You remember the Lord's prayer? Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever and ever. Amen. You can see that I too can get very religious. Amen. Because these are psalms, these are the things that we recited that become part of us, because right from our youth, we talked about the Lord's Prayer. But if you look at the Lord's Prayer properly, you will discover it's talking about one's desire to experience God's world, God's kingdom, thy kingdom come. That is where the prayer of the saint should be. Thy kingdom come, the God's kingdom is upon Mount Zion. That is the city of the living God, where the innumerable company of angels, those who are redeemed, the innocent, washed with the blood of the Lamb, they are gathered in one, in God, with shouts of joy, where there is wide tribulation and joy, where the blessings of God know no limit at all. Praise God. So it says here that is, I'm talking of the prayer of Jesus, the Lord's Prayer. It says that kingdom come, for that is the kingdom, the glory, the power, the honor, and everything forevermore. Now that kingdom and glory of God is our prayer to be partakers of the same. That is what our prayer should be about. You know, we have so many prayers today. We pray for this, we pray for that, and we are distracted by so many needs and wants in this world. But I tell you, there's only one thing to ask God for. There's only one thing to be focused on, and that is to be found upon the pinnacle of Zion. Hallelujah. That the Spirit of God leads you. Hallelujah. Leads you back, which is the intention of God anyhow, to lead you back to that place where you can rediscover yourself in God. Mark it, I use the word rediscover yourself in God. Because God never put any man in the mud. God did not create a man and, you know, dip him in the mud. See, somehow we all slipped away. We slept. We all died in Adam. And when you die in Adam, it means that you became of the earth. You became entangled with the corruption that is it, that this world, you know, entails. See it? We all became entangled with the systems of men, the systems of this world, the concepts and the beliefs. and we lost out on everything that is God. See, so you see that this once upon Mount Zion, Bible says they follow the lamp wherever it goes, meaning that they allow the inner anointing of God, they allow the Spirit of God, the counsel of God, cause them, lead them back to Mount Zion. You see, the psalmist says, talks about the Lord lightening his path, making plain his path, the Lord sending light to lead him back to Zion. That is what God is doing to us in this hour. And we all are all partakers of this salvation of God. Let us not pretend that we are any better than anybody out there. We are all beneficiaries of this great salvation of what? Of God. After all, I didn't die personally for you. You didn't die personally for me. Praise God. When we know these things in our minds, we become more humble and not be lifted up. See, we must learn to become servants of one another, recognizing that we are all beneficiaries of this same salvation. See, John says that if any man says that he has no sin, he lies. Praise God. But if we, you know, confess our sins, he's faithful and just to what? To forgive us. See, now, if you have this in mind, you realize that there's no point trying to slander one another, trying to fight with one another, and all those things don't matter. What matters is how we can be found upon Mount Zion. Very, very important. That is all that matters. See, there is no such thing as doctrine, no such thing as belief. There is only God. Praise God. If we have these things in our minds, we'll be very, very careful how we treat one another. See, we will minister with each other with a language of kindness, meekness, correcting one another with what? With meekness, humility, and love. Praise God. So the 144,000, I'm going back to the book of Revelation chapter 14. The 144,000 were redeemed from the earth and transported to Mount Zion. The Bible says that here that they were virgins. Virgins. They had not what? Defiled themselves, you know, with this world. Virgins. And when you hear the word virgin, there's always that tendency to think that maybe you want to be a good person, you want to make yourself pure as a man to present yourself before God, you want to do good works, you want to, you know, be more religious to qualify as a virgin before God. But I tell you, virginity does not come in that way. To discover yourself a virgin upon Mount Zion is all about knowing who you are. That's all. Because the Spirit of truth will only teach you truth. The Spirit of truth does not come. That the Holy Ghost does not come to try to work out something in you, a new man or whatever. All it does is to teach you truth. It comes to remind you of what you are, what you truly are, who you are from God's perspective. He does not come to, you know, to kind of purify you outwardly, but to teach you, remind you of who you are. That's what the Holy Ghost comes to do. See, from God's perspective, we are all virgins. We are all pure and perfect. See, God does not see any man as a sinner. God does not see any man as, you know, a transgressor. It's you yourself as a man that sees yourself as a transgressor, as a sinner. Remember the word of God to Adam? Who told you are what? You are naked. That is proof that God has nothing to do with your sense of nakedness, with your sense of unworthiness. God has got nothing to do. It is the lie of the devil. That is the deception of the devil that has kind of separated you from God and from your part in God, from the blessing in God. Praise God. Every man is a virgin. Everyone out there is what? A virgin from God's perspective. And God sends his spirit within you. God brings understanding to destroy the works of the what? The devil. And the works of the devil is to hide the reality of what? Of your virginity. The moment you begin to discover your virginity, that is your true, perfect, immaculate state, the innocent creature that you are, you automatically discover yourself accessing everything that is God. Remember that it is your conscience that condemns you before God. God never, ever, ever condemns any man. If you have a clear conscience, you can always get anything. You have the unlimited power and infinite possibilities working in you as a son of God. The only thing that can hinder you from your blessing in God is your own conscience. It's your defiled conscience. Praise God. But the Spirit of God is here to destroy that sense of unworthiness in you. To destroy. Hallelujah. To wash you clean of that defiled conscience that you inherited as a man. And to lift you up back into the place of all power and all glory. Hallelujah. We're going to go to the parable of the virgins, 10 virgins. Jesus Christ gave a parable of 10 virgins. And we know the parable very much. There were 10 wise virgins. And there were 10 what? Foolish virgins. Let us see now. Before I go on, I want you to mark the word that they were all virgins. Why they? Did he tell you that there were five were virgins and five were not virgins? They were all virgins. Let us read on Matthew chapter 25 from verse 1. Then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. Praise God. And 5 of them were wise and 5 were foolish. They that were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them. But the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. While the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and what? And slept. And at midnight there was a cry made, "Behold, the bridegroom cometh, go ye out and meet him." Then all these virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said unto the wise, "Give us of your oil, for our lamps are what? Gone out." But the wise answered, saying, "No, so lest there be not enough for us and you, but go ye rather to the go you rather to them that sell and buy for them yourself." And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and they that were ready went in with him to the marriage, and the door was shut. Afterwards came also the other virgins, saying, "Lord, Lord, open to us." But he answered and said, "Verily I say unto you, I know you not." Praise God. Now, this is a very, very interesting parable, multi-version parable. Like I've always said, when you hear things like this, God can minister these things to you in a million ways. The most important thing is that you are edified in the truth or in the grace that is in Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Now let us understand that there were 10 virgins. They were all what? Virgins. That's the first thing we must understand. They were all what? Virgins. So you can see how the Lord looks at every man. Eh? God doesn't look at Bin Laden as corrupt. See it? He doesn't look at Gaddafi as corrupt. He doesn't look at anybody. God is not aware of your human identity, your human form. That is your own ignorance. Praise God. When you go about as a human being, doing what all the things that you do as a man, and all your problems, and you only gather things upon yourself and problems upon yourself that will lead to your sorrow and destruction and pain. See, God sees truth. Praise God. God sees what? Truth. He does not see the lie. And Christ is what? Christ is the truth. Christ represents the creature of God, the image that is known of God. God knows, he's not aware of the other images. All that thing that we walk around thinking that we are sinners is not in God's vocabulary. So there are 10 virgins. So the difference between this category of virgins is that one had oil and the other one did not have what? Oil. And they all what? Slept. They all slumbered and what? Slept. Now, do you realize that this is what all of us have done in our humanity? Do you know we slept? Do you know we slept? We are deep asleep as men. When we think that we are, you know, mortals, when we are unaware of our true spirituality in God, when we are unaware of our oneness in God, when we are unaware of God's kingdom and our inheritance in light, do you know when we are asleep? When we are out there like the prodigal son in the pig pen of humanity, do you know we are asleep struggling to survive? We are asleep in the dust. When Adam sinned, dust you are, dust you return, Adam went to sleep in the dust. And that is where every man is today. Every man is what? Asleep. He's asleep in the dust. See, and what you are hearing today is the shout. You know, there was a shout at midday. At midnight, there was a shout, you know, saying the bad good comment. And the shout is to awaken you. That shout is the message we're hearing today. It's the last trumpet. So it's the voice of the Lord, you know, sounding and causing an awakening in the people today. Oh, hallelujah. And notice that it was at midnight that the shout came. What does midnight mark? Midnight marks the turning point of the night. You know that gradually as the clock begins to tick after midnight, you are entering into the day. You know that? See, that's why you always see parables. Jesus Christ always talk about the midnight. When you enter into the day, in the resurrection, it's like the, you know, rising of the sun onto the brightness of a new day. Because God, those who can hear the voice, the shout of the archangel, and awake, enter into the day of the Lord. It's a new dispensation of pure grace and life. Hallelujah. An eternal day where there is no more darkness. Every darkness fades away. Now, right there, while they were in the dust, while they were asleep, there was the 5 set of virgins who had the oil, while the other ones did not have what? Oil. And I want to tell you one thing that will shock you today. That oil in the vessel of the wise virgins represents the unction of God, the wisdom of God, the understanding of God. See, John said that you have an anointing within you that will teach you all what all truth. Now, the anointing within you is what? It's Christ. It's the Spirit of God within you that teaches you all things. Yeah, even the deep things of God. Now, most people are not bothered. Most people go about carrying on with their lives, and you know, don't want to be attentive. That's why Jesus Christ said, "Mind how you hear." He shouted this in loud many times. Mind how you hear. You know, we are all distracted at times. Cares about life, and I tell you, all these things that we are worried about, you discover they don't even exist. They don't exist. You wake up one day and you discover that all these things you are pursuing as a man don't exist. All that exists is the Father and the Son, God's kingdom. That's all. Every other thing is just an illusion. People are struggling how to make ends meet, how to make a name upon your head, how to be seen of men, how to be accepted of men, how to be, you know, renowned of men. So you don't need all those things. You don't need. All you need to do is to allow the inner anointing in you lead you unto glory. That is all that you ever need as a man. Praise God. Some of you are rolling on your bed day and night wondering why you are not married and all that kind of stuff, and you feel that something is leaving you or something like that, you know. Some of you are worried about, you know, you simply cannot, we cannot at times simply be still enough to just let the anointing in God lead us onto that place. You see, we have to come to the place where we have the mentality of Moses. Moses, who was in the king's palace, surrounded with riches and with the glories of this world, was able to see with the eyes of the Spirit the riches that is in Christ and His glory, and was able to live all. To go and back on that 40-year journey before he discovered that burning bush. Praise God. Do you know that we all have to be like-minded to be able to live the cares of this life? Jesus Christ calls it the deceitfulness of riches. Deceitfulness, they look as if they are, but they are what? They are not. See, we are listening to something yesterday in the car. What it says? It says that it's obvious that we came into this world naked. This is, and naked we are going to depart out of this world. Therefore, having food and raiment, be content therewith. See, we have to let us, you know, followers of the Lord, to just be satisfied and live now and not get distracted with the things of this world, because those desiring to be rich, those desiring to be renowned, those desiring to be increased in this world only fall into lust and temptation and many hurtful things that lead to destruction. But our focus should be what? On that eternal life, on that life of God. Holding on to eternal life. Amen. Holding on what? To eternal life. That's what we are called to, hold on to that eternal life. Praise God. Let us not be distracted. So you see that the wise virgins had the oil. Luke talks about while they were there in their humanity, these ones had the flow of the anointing in them. The fellowshipping with the Word of God. Hallelujah. The fellowship with the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. That's why we should not joke with this fellowship that we have with each other, isn't it? Refreshing one another with the Word of God. Hallelujah. Listen to our messages. I listen to that message from the brother over there in America, the other one over there in Europe, the other one there in Australia, in New Zealand, everywhere. And we are all one body, one purpose. Always communicating the things of God. Hallelujah. The other day I was feeling, you know, kind of, you know, at times you feel somehow. And I just got a tape of a sister in America, and the beautiful words of God. Very powerful words, very, very neat. And these things refreshed me. Even Paul, you know, Paul in one of his letters was telling Timothy, I think. Is it Timothy or Titus? Say, refresh me in the Lord. We have to come to the place where we refresh one another with a single-mindedly. Learning to refresh one another with the word of God. Refresh one another with the hope of our calling. Refresh one another with, in remembrance of the Christ in us. Of our oneness. Of divinity. The divinity that we all share. Praise God. Now, I want us to realize that all those virgins, the 10 of them were all virgins. See, and the only thing that will separate you from the bridegroom, the only thing that will separate the bride from the bridegroom, is her inability to rediscover her virginity. Mark this stuff. Even though the 10 of them were virgins, it's only those who had the oil in their lamps that were able to recognize themselves as virgins. Are you listening? It's only those who have the revelation of Christ, those who are filled with the Holy Ghost, illumined with the light of life, that can truly rediscover themselves as what? As virgins. In other words, the foolish virgins definitely did not realize that they were virgins. I'm talking spiritually here. I'm giving you insight into what this parable is all about. To rediscover your virginity, you must allow the Spirit of God to lead you. Allow the Spirit of God teach you truth. Hallelujah. That is why the Holy Ghost, Jesus Christ made one say, the Holy Ghost will teach you all things. He will announce things to come. He will bring remembrance. He will teach you all things. See, the people are waiting for external signs and you always want big things outside. But the thing that matters is how the Spirit of God teaches you. Because the Spirit of God teaches you and opens your eyes, you rediscover your immaculate self. You rediscover your virginity. Hallelujah. And that is the only thing that hinders you from God. Your defiled conscience. See it. Your loss of your virginity when you were down there was the only thing that hindered you from God. The moment you are illumined with the Holy Ghost, with the light of life, and discover your virginity, you will discover yourself flowing back into that union with Christ. Praise God. Now, those wise virgins were given entrance into the bridal chamber. They entered in to marry, you see, the bridegroom. Who is the bridegroom? It's Christ. It's the Spirit of God. And we've defined marriage as what? The two shall be. That's what marriage is. The two shall become one. And that two that shall become one is talking about our eternal marriage to the Spirit of God. For we are one spirit with God. We are what? One spirit with God. That is the union that by which any man can be saved. Realizing this oneness with God is the eternal life, is the immortality, is the blessing of God, is everything. Jesus Christ will walk upon the earth in his days, says, everything that the Father has is mine. All that the Father has is what? Is mine. Isn't that the confession of Jesus? Like he was married to the Father. That's oneness. He didn't have a life outside of that life in with the one with the Father. Hallelujah. And now the prayer of Jesus is that they may be one as we are one. Is that what Jesus Christ says? That they may be one as we are one. When he prayed, he says that they may be one as we are one. That means that we all, his prayer was that we all experience that oneness with God that he was experiencing. That is marriage. The two shall be one. And to rediscover that oneness, you must first of all rediscover your virginity. See, the foolish virgins that walk in darkness without light cannot discover their virginity. They can't see their light garments. They're in darkness. They don't know who they are. They are lost. They are ignorant of God, of what God is and everything, and they are annihilated from the life of God. Hallelujah. But the other few, the other wise virgins, are those who allow the Spirit of God counsel them, teach them, edify them, build them up in the Lord. See it. And as you allow the Spirit of God lead you on, as you fellowship with the Spirit of God, a door is open for you, where eternal door is open into God's kingdom. Eternal God does minister to you for God, you know, into God's kingdom, where you can enter in and realize your oneness with God. Bear in mind today that God has sent the blood of his Son to purge our conscience. He has given us the Spirit of God to prepare us, the bride, to wash us, present us perfect unto Christ. You see this in a letter to the Ephesians, Paul, when Paul was talking about marriage. You know, let's read from Ephesians chapter 5 verse 25. It says, husbands, love your wives even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of the water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having what? Spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blame. So you can see that God gives us a Spirit, he breathes on us, he gives us the inspiration. See it. So that we are cleansed and washed by the water of the word, which is the word of truth. See, when we are washed and cleansed, what he does is that he washes the garments that are stained with flesh. See, it causes us to rediscover our spirituality, our perfect nature. Because we are virgins, you know that? We are virgins. We are perfect. We are light creatures without guile, without form. That is why you are hearing messages like this today. It's to awaken you to the reality of who you are. Praise God. When you discover your virginity, you discover yourself having unhindered access to God, which is the marriage that we're talking about. They become one. See, the bride has prepared herself. Hallelujah. Now the power of God and his kingdom has come. Because the bride has prepared herself. Hallelujah. Praise God. So it is not as if God does not lock the door on anybody. The door into God's kingdom is always open. But the foolish virgins cannot find their way through the door. Because they were dull of hearing. They were not worth listening. Have you heard the messages to the churches? In the book of Revelation, that the church is the woman, isn't it? The church is the bride, isn't it? The church is the bride, is the wife of the Lamb. Now, if you hear the messages to the church, it says that blessed are those who have ears to hear, isn't it? Or blessed are those who hear what the Spirit said to the church. Hear truth, hear truth. Don't be carried away with the lies of this world. Hear the truth of the Spirit. Let the Spirit lead you. Listen. So ability to listen, I will purify you and present you blameless. You will present you back as a virgin to your true bridegroom, which is Christ. Praise God. Those ones come to knock on the door, isn't it? The foolish virgins came to knock on the door. And the bridegroom said, I know you not. Now, before you can be known of the bridegroom, you have to know yourself. You have to know yourself the way you are known of what? Of the bridegroom, which is God. If you go knocking on the door as a human being, if I go knocking on the door as Trevor, he will tell you he does not know you. Praise God. He only knows Christ. He only knows himself. Because besides him, there is no other. And listen to the secret here. To enter through the door, you must rediscover yourself. The light of the Spirit has to illumine you to know who you are. And that is the thing that will open the door for you into God's kingdom. It's not as if the door, God shuts it. God is not a man, you know. You know, we men, we do things to each other. We avenge. When this one does this to me, I do this back to him. And, you know, we do all those things, you know. God does not do that. See, God does not shut the door, doesn't punish anybody, doesn't curse anybody, does not do anything to anybody. What will cause you to suffer and to remain there in outer darkness, where there is weeping and gnashing of teeth, is your ignorance. It's your foolishness. Praise God. And I tell you, if all men are what? Are fools. Hallelujah. Praise God. 2 Peter chapter 3. 2 Peter, sorry. 2 Peter chapter 1. I'll just start from verse 3. Let us just see. Before I just read this, I just want us to realize that all that we are saying here in this message is that there is a virgin in you. Praise God. And the intention of God is that every man awakens to the virgin that is in him. And oh, you virgin daughter of Zion, you that sleepeth in the dust, see it, awake. Awake from the dust. And the daughter of Zion is a virgin. Praise God. But you must awake from your slumber or your sleep. And let the Holy Ghost, the illumination, the revelation of Christ in you, lead you into a new dispensation in God. Let it lead you unto the eternal Spirit so that you can be partakers, the co-inheritors, inheritors of God's kingdom. Hallelujah. 2 Peter chapter 1 verse 3. Let us see the goods that God has given to us according as his divine power has given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of him that has called us to glory and virtue. Hallelujah. Whereby are given unto us great and exceeding promises, that by this you might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in this world through lust. And besides this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge. And let's stop there. Let's go down to verse 11. For so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and, you know, Savior Jesus Christ. Now, Peter here talks about a door that is ministered to us. A door that's actually open to us. See it abundantly into God's everlasting kingdom, you know, of our Lord. And, you know, that when you enter through that door, you enter in to be married to Christ. You see it? You enter in to experience that oneness with God. Because everything that is in God's kingdom is what? Is God. Mark it. There's no such thing as a man. There's no such thing as a separate. Everything is just God. Praise God. So you see here that God has given us all things that pertain to godliness. That the gifts of the Spirit that he gives us. Are you listening? Right? You have gifts of the Spirit, gifts of vision, gifts of this or gifts of that. All these gifts are simply there to edify you. See, to awaken you to divinity in you. So awaken you to the knowledge of Christ in you. The light creature in you. The image of God in you. The virgin in you. Praise God. And you see, as we grow in this, as we get more and more in this understanding, there has to be greater brotherly love, greater kindness, greater gentleness, because we are all members of each other. We are all partakers of that same glory. See, we are so much one that if one suffers, the other one what suffers. We are all one. Hallelujah. Praise God. Ministering to each other in love, allowing the anointing to flow towards what? In love. Amen. So we've talked about the 10 virgins. 5 are foolish and 5 are wise. Said God wants us to know that every man out there is a virgin. See, but the foolish virgins are those who are not able to listen to the voice of truth. They're those who are not allowed the inner anointing to teach them about the mystery of that Christ in them. Hallelujah. The moment every man awakes from the dust, because like you know all of them were asleep, any man who allows the Spirit of God lead him on, and as you awake from the dust, you discover that you are perfect. The way he is the way you are. Without God, you are perfect. Nothing like sin, and there is no, what do you call it, you know, separation between man and God. For we are all one in God. Praise God. So let us let these things that we've heard today be our meditation day and night. Walk boldly before the presence of God, realizing that you have been redeemed, you have been saved, and God does not withhold anything from any man. God is love. Let us be patient. Continuity in this thing that we have heard. See, let the things around us at times not try to choke what we've heard this last days. Amen. And let us project ourselves daily and see ourselves upon Mount Zion. Perfect. Redeemed from among men. Men who are those who inhabit the dust realm. Redeemed from among men. Virgins. Pure without guile, unrebukable in this generation. No corrupt thoughts, because we are not of this world. We have an infinite dimension of light. See, we don't have a physical body. We might be in a container for a moment, but we feel all in all. There's no need for strife, no need for slander and all these things, no need for vainglory, like men of this world do. Because we are not of this world. God bless you. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Blessed be your name. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Virgins upon Mount Zion. Let your people awake to this reality. For you created man perfect in your image and in your likeness. Let every man realize this secret. Blessed be your name, Lord. Hallelujah. Let every man awaken to the virgin in him and enter into through that door into this marvelous kingdom of light.
O Zion, O Zion, that bringeth glad tidings, get ye up into the high mountain. Jerusalem, Jerusalem, that bringeth glad tidings, get ye up into the high mountain. Get thee up, be not afraid, get ye up, be not afraid, and say unto the cities of Judah, behold your God, Behold your God. Behold your God. O Zion, O Zion, that bringeth glad tidings, get ye up into the high mountain. Jerusalem, Jerusalem, that bringeth glad tidings, get ye up into the high mountain. Get ye up, be not afraid. Get ye up, be not afraid. And say unto the cities of Judah, behold your God. Behold your God. Behold your God. Get ye up, be not afraid. Get ye up, be not afraid. And say unto the cities of Judah, behold your God. Behold your God. Behold.